The Surrey Storm Podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemeth.
Hello, it's Andy. Special episode of the Surrey Storm Podcast with Player Lair today. We're going to hear from Mickey about how that last couple of months been for her and give details and hear from the first sign-in of 2021, Yaz Parsons. Great, isn't it? First, let's catch up with Mickey, who's been telling us about how she's been spending those last couple of months.
It's still been super busy and really hectic, and being busy in this time frame is never a bad thing, and ultimately it's been a real positive that we've finally got the green light to be able to progress back into the sport that we all love.
Now we have that date. I wondered if we could maybe approach it from two points, and obviously from that director of netball view, and also as a player. Is it just, I suppose, nice to have something to aim towards finally?
Yeah, of course, in a way, you know, it's nice to just have that little bit of certainty that, you know, touching every piece of wood you can find, that we'll be able to, you know, say we're going to compete in a league next year, because at some points that was, you know, a question mark and definitely up for debate. So it's really nice to finally have that solidified and be able to look forward to, you know, 2021 and what sorts of challenges that will bring is sort of a separate talking point. But yeah, I mean, I guess in this stage, there's still quite a lot of discussions and a lot of flexibility needed. You know, we know that we'll be able to compete in February of 2021, but between now and then, there's still a lot of things that need to be, you know, sorted out and solidified. And I'm talking generally as a league, you know, that there's a lot of things that we obviously rely on in terms of government guidelines and guidance and all of that sort of stuff that, you know, at this point in time is an ever-changing beast, and what we're preparing for now may change in a week's time. You know, we just don't know. So still trying to be as flexible as we possibly can. There's still a lot of hoops to jump through to be able to solidify, you know, every part of the program and the franchise going forward. But we'll get there, you know, we'll get there one way or another.
Seeing some of the videos online of the almost modified sports park, you must be happy with the work they've been doing in the meantime.
Oh yeah, of course. You know, SSP have been so vigilant and really proactive in just their processes and making sure that the building is as accessible as possible, but in the most safest way possible. You know, I think they were really smart in the beginning of making it a phased reopening. You know, they didn't just open everything all at once. It was very much, you know, we'll offer this service, and once we know we can cope with the demand, then we'll drip feed other events into that. And now they're at a point in time where they feel like they've got a really good grasp on, you know, their new procedures and protocols. And yeah, it's really nice to be back. And, you know, I'm sort of loosely back in the building for some days and still working from home for some days. And fingers crossed, we've, as it stands, got the green light to go back into the building to start doing some training pretty soon. Obviously completely non-compulsory because, you know, people are still out of contract and all of that stuff, but, you know, at least we have the option to be able to, you know, touch a ball again and have access to posts again and, you know, have exposure to our flooring and all things that, you know, before COVID we probably took majorly for granted.
The way things ended that season, players will be in contract, players will have 1 year, 2 year contract and maybe have some involvement with the NPA as well. Does that all come into play as you look to build 2021?
Yeah, of course. You know, all of it is part of the process, and, you know, there's lots of different rules and regulations that you have to abide by in this time period, and, you know, you throw a global pandemic into that, of course it's going to be sort of a real unknown entity. But I think the league were pretty clear in sort of their rules around, you know, signings and when that can and can't start. And yeah, certainly since the signing window has been open, it's been a pretty clear and straightforward process about who you can and can't talk to, and everything's been pretty phased, which has made it, you know, that little bit easier. And then, yeah, you know, all of it's pretty clear, to be honest, you know, in terms of, like, if players are part of the NPA, this is what, these are the rules and procedures you have to go down, or yeah, they've made it pretty clear in terms of the common contracting and the processes in place about what you have to do. And there was obviously an internal and an external signing window, so it meant you could talk to players who were on your current roster a little bit earlier. which was great because it obviously meant that you could have those conversations with people who have sort of been loyal to your club ahead of time. And that's probably made things a lot simpler this year, as opposed to, you know, it being a little bit of a mass free-for-all at times.
But that's a sign of a quality coach, anyway, you included in that, definitely with, like, that trust in the player, and quite often the player will know that they'll have an open door that can come and chat to you about anything, not just the sport.
Yeah, of course, you know, ultimately, I get it, we're a bit of a niche beast because I obviously cross over a lot of different roles, but because of that, you know, I can remove certain hats and, you know, talk to you on a level where I understand, you know, I get it as a player, I understand the contracting period as a player, and it's never a nice experience. And in all honesty, there's no kind of training that prepares you for it. You know, I think this year going ahead at Storm, we're actually going to start doing some contracting workshops, especially for our age group athletes, because, you know, you never really get taught to how to handle these types of conversations or what questions to answer. And yeah, and I think you only get to know or get to be better at it by doing it. And, you know, there's some of us that have been doing it now for sort of 12 plus years, which in which case we're a little bit more savvy to it. But if you're coming, you know, into this as a young up and coming athlete, it's really tough. It's really hard to know, like, how to have these conversations. And yeah, I guess for us, it's just, you know, making sure we're as upfront and honest as possible so that everybody sort of knows where they stand way ahead of time and knows sort of in our thinking where they feature and where they sit. And, you know, we've been really honest since I came into the helm. You know, ideally we want to maintain and keep the main bulk of our playing group the same on a year-on-year basis so that we don't have to, you know, chop and change squads on a mass scale. You know, if ideally all we're doing is slotting in the edges of a jigsaw and the rest of the main picture stays the same, then to me that will really help breed success for future years. So we're really lucky that we're in a position certainly this year to do that and have done that. So long may that continue.
But if you use the jigsaw theory, we've lost a corner piece with Katie, haven't we?
Yeah, of course. You know, Katie Hughes's retirement is massive for the sport in general, to be honest. Obviously, she's been such a stalwart of the league now for the best part of a decade, and she's one of those athletes that, you know, is Storm through and through. You know, she's never been anywhere else, she's never played for anyone else, and she's been with Storm through every part of its history in the last 10 years. And thrown into that is obviously also Lorraine, who, you know, has been part of the league for 12 plus years now. Yeah. And just her service to netball in general as a whole is something that needs to be celebrated. But, you know, ultimately as a franchise, we were prepared for this. You know, we knew this was on the cards and have known now for probably longer than a lot of people would give us credit for. So, you know, that almost changing of the guard has been in the back of our mind for a while. We've prepared for that. We've bringing other people in. We've bolstered from underneath as well. And, you know, now we've been doing that for the past couple of years, that we've got people who are ready to step up into that position. It's just going to be a change, that's all, you know, in terms of, you know, not having those certain faces in our change rooms anymore, which is a shame. And, you know, they'll be sorely missed by everybody. And, you know, the only sad part about it is that they won't get the send-off that they've earned because, you know, obviously COVID. And there's certain things that we can do and will look to do to celebrate them when we can, but, you know, we can't replicate that feeling of pulling on their dress for the last time or walking out onto court for the last time. And, you know, it's those things that are really sentimental that, you know, because of the wider COVID-19 situation, they won't get back. But rest assured, you know, Lorraine's still going to be a massive part of our franchise going forward. You know, we've got things in place that mean she can continue with us just with an off-court capacity. Mm. And Katie got an unbelievably amazing opportunity in her personal career to sort of excel and see where that goes. And that's an opportunity that she absolutely shouldn't and couldn't turn down. So, you know, it's a sad thing for netball, but not a sad thing for them personally. They're both doing amazing things.
It's maybe wrong to build a side around one player, but is there somebody in 2020-21 season that you're already getting the ideas?
I mean, to a certain extent, yes. I mean, we're not a franchise that would build our squad around one player in general anyway. You know, we're very much a team-first mentality. And that takes a certain level of buy-in from the players, which is a real positive in my eyes.
Pretty evident, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, as I say, like for the last few years, we've been, our aim's been to try and keep the main core of the playing group the same, and certainly going into 2021 season, we've managed to do that, in which case we're only talking about, you know, slotting in and filling in a couple of positions. So hopefully on a year-on-year basis, that will keep getting, you know, better and better, and yeah, we can look to just continue to move forward with a bulk of players who have been around for a while and know what Storm's about and know what I'm trying to achieve and are really happy to come along for the ride.
Up until that window closes then, it's just that big, massive game of chess that everybody plays. I don't know what it's like for director of netball, but for fans of the game, it's just a, oh my God, they've got this, they've got this, so-and-so. Is that similar for you?
In a way, yeah. I mean, I guess when you're in it and, yeah, you know, we sort of hear about things and know about things way ahead of time, so it's probably a little bit of a less of a shock to us than it is the general public. But it is just it's a massive chess game, and, you know, rightfully so, a lot of people hold their cards very, very close to their chest in this time period. And as with anything, you know, none of these decisions are ever made quickly. So, you know, I think we've got up until the 30th of October before anything needs to be completely cemented and solidified. So it's a long old time. And especially in this time period where, you know, people have been out of netball for sort of months and months, none of those decisions are going to be made before you see people in person and, you know, give them exposure on court as well. So you've got that factor, which obviously adds a little bit of time on top of everything else. And, you know, I think as we've seen with, you know, a couple of players from our playing group in terms of their retirement, you know, you're asking people to put their life on hold until February of 2021, which is a long time, certainly a lot longer than any of us have ever experienced before. And, you know, in this time period, I think you'll find that there's been a real shift of priority. You know, people have had to put other sections of their life first and not put stuff on hold for netball. So I think you'll see a lot more changes than have currently been announced. You know, we've chosen to go really early so that we've been open and honest about that. But, you know, I think across the league, teams in 2021 will look a lot different next year, just because of this mass break that we've had to have. And, you know, people have put their careers first or moved on to the next stage of their family life. Or, you know, it's a long time to say, oh, do you know what, I'm just going to stop everything to look forward to February of 2021 for netball. So, yeah, I think there'll be a lot of changes. I think this off-season will be one filled with lots of twists and turns. But, you know, ultimately, that's what makes our sport so exciting.
Yeah. SurreyStormNetball.co.uk, SurreyStorm Podcast for the latest from you there during this time as well. Cheers, Mickey, for your time.
No, thank you.
Well, we know by now that Yaz is part of that England squad travelling to New Zealand. And in all the best podcast form, here's something we recorded earlier.
I was rearing to go. I think a lot of the girls were desperate to get back into some sort of environment where we would be passing a netball around. And so I know, obviously, the international window is really important for us. And we're looking at the next 2 years, like leading into the Commonwealth Games. So we knew it was important to get us back playing. And credit to England Netball for putting in the health and safety measures to enable us to do that. So I think we were just all room ready to go. And I think they did an excellent job in putting us into our pods. And obviously, in any sort of like downtime or what we were staying in our accommodation, we were all in single rooms, so we were isolated in that sense, and that we weren't sharing rooms like we normally would. And we stayed within our bubble only in training, so outside of training we're very much socially distant, and obviously, yeah, trying to keep like that safe environment as possible. And England Netball put all those procedures in place for us to do that, which was great. And the first couple of weeks we were having our temperature checked, washing hands, hand gelling, changing the ball every 15 minutes. And we didn't have defenders in, so we were very much like socially distant, passing the ball. So we weren't marking like you would normally see in netball. And then slowly we started adding the pods, and obviously the advice from Jim, our doctor, and obviously following government guidelines as well, we slowly started to increase our pod size to enable us to then return to the stage we're at now, where we are competing against each other in the normal netball style, really.
Jess Thirlby hasn't travelled as part of the team, but she shared her thoughts earlier about Yaz's inclusion.
She's had a fantastic journey with Surrey Storm and has become such a critical athlete for them now. So it's really encouraging to see a young player kind of flourish as Yaz has. So I think it's testament to that kind of perseverance as to why she now finds herself with a Roses full-time contract and the opportunity to build on that. So yeah, incredible achievement, and it'll be lovely to kind of see what I can do to add value to her as a player too.
And to be able to give a player like that the opportunity must be totally rewarding as well.
Yeah, really rewarding, because I think ultimately, you know, I've spoken about how important the Super League is in developing our homegrown talent, and we have to put our money where our mouth is on that. So I think Yaz, along with many others in that list that have been selected, are great advocates and examples of a domestic competition which is working, as well as a full-time Roses programme that is engaging players and hopefully helping to accelerate their development. So it's paramount that we make sure that we're seeing some reward, and that the systems are working in a way that we are seeing homegrown talent come through the ranks. So yeah, Yaz, along with many others, great to see people like Laura Malcolm back involved, and so many of the young talent, Sophie Drakeford-Lewis, Amy Carter, all kind of young names that we've seen almost receive accolades at Super League level, and they're still very, very young.
Yeah.
And I think that's just incredible to know that the potential growth still to come from those players is something I can't wait to harness and help with.
Yaz is back at the Storm. It's great news, isn't it? Ahead of last season, do you remember then? Yaz told us about why she was returning.
I do have loyalty to a club, and I feel like I do owe that loyalty to Surrey Storm, because they've helped me develop as a player and the person who I am today. And also, it's not just that, it's the teammates that you play with. So, you know, I'm really, really fond of our team, and we want to push on and hopefully be reaching top four. And, you know, lots of options. Yeah, you do have to weigh up like your job or geographically where you live. And I think a lot of players do undergo those decisions of whether they want to travel or are willing to travel, but I love this franchise, I love this club, I love this team, so definitely was easy to put pen to paper.
And she's pleased to be back at a club that's got such a strong family atmosphere.
I've always felt home at Surrey Storm, and you know, you don't know what goes on in other franchises, but this club is really special, and the girls that are involved in it are really special as well. And you do just get that kind of, we are really cohesive, and you know, you're not just rocking up to play netball, you're also with your friends, and that's what Surrey Storm is all about. So we're willing to put the hard work in, don't get me wrong, but again, we're just a real, real close-knit family.
Yaz told us about how she's felt her game's developed being part of the Super League.
Each year I am gaining so much more, and I'm learning so much more, and I feel like my performance has changed massively. And especially when you're playing against internationals like Serena Guthrie, and you know, other players like Jade Clark, you're gonna be pushing yourself. So I feel like personally I have developed and I have reached personal targets. But sitting down with Mickey at the start of the season, we have discussed certain targets that I want to reach next year. So yeah, I am happy with my performance, but I am really critical and I always want more from myself. So I always do push to try and better myself each year.
And what's it going to be like for being part of pre-season?
To get that duck egg blue dress back on is going to be really exciting. And I know, yes, pre-season is coming up. I've still kept on with my training anyway, because I'm a bit of a training freak. But yeah, so it will be nice to be back with the girls. So it's really, really exciting. And then so I can't wait to be back in that duck egg blue.
So Yaz, first of many, Jess on Yaz and Mickey as well. That was a bit of a special podcast. Remember, we were the first Netball Super League podcast. Tell a Storm fan if you like, and online at Surrey Storm Podcast, where you get your usual podcasts. Thanks as always for your support. We'll see you on the next episode, and maybe another sign-in as well.
Ready? The Surrey Storm Podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemeth.